Welcome to the IB Objects for Beginners session. My name is Jason Wharton, and I imagine you all probably know I wrote the Interbase Objects components. Most of your faces I recognize, some I don't. I don't really have a hard and fast agenda for this session. I'm hoping to cater to your interests and your questions. If you don't have any, then I'll just start right at the top and give a brief introduction. But if you have any questions, any things you want to know, feel free to give me some direction. The first thing to know about Interbase Objects is there's probably more components in here than you'll use. There's a lot of stuff to choose from, and as a beginner, what I recommend most people start out with is just focus in on the IBOT dataset tab. And what these components are is these are designed to work much like the Boolean database engine driven components work with. Your T-table, T-query, T-database, there's an equivalent component for each one. And basically, these are designed to work in such a way that you can take a BDE-based application that already works with an Interbase or Firebird database. You can run a search and replace tool on it and recompile your application and actually have it working. It was in Delphi 3 days when they actually created the T-dataset class separate from the Boolean database engine components. And so that's when I decided to make these emulation components. And it's very nice because now if you're already familiar working with the T-dataset class, then you're pretty much good to go. Has anybody played around with the, there's a comprehensive guide for doing that. Hopefully I've got wireless connection here. No, sorry. On my website, there's a very detailed guide that walks you through step by step exactly how to take an application that's based on the BDE and converting it to an Interbase Objects application. And in most cases, it takes minutes to be running your Boolean database engine-based application with Interbase Objects. And that's where I recommend everybody wanting to get your feet wet with IBO start, because you're using what you're already largely familiar with. And the next thing that I want to introduce are the core components. And these are just the very nuts and bolts basic. We'll just start a new application. And of course you need a connection, and we'll just start out with this. Most of the Interbase Objects components have component editors built into them so that you can basically have a little bit more of a rich interface for working with the components. One thing about Interbase Objects components is there's, if you look in the Object Inspector, of course we're in a little bit, there's usually just a tremendous amount of properties, and most people are very overwhelmed. They look at everything here and they're just like, oh my gosh, where do I start? And they feel lost almost immediately because there's just so much stuff. And so one of the most important pieces of advice I can give anyone starting with Interbase Objects is just take a deep breath and relax and don't worry about it. You'll appreciate that maybe a year or 2 years into using Interbase Objects when you're familiar with it, comfortable with it, and you're ready to start exploring and discovering. And I get a lot of my developers 3 years into it, they're like, wow, this has been in there all this time and I could have been using it, but I just, you know. So that is available to you as you use Interbase Objects. It's very deep, very rich. But I've been very careful to design all of these additional pieces of functionality so that they just quietly sit there. They don't get in your way. It's safe to ignore them. You don't have to worry about whether you should or shouldn't be doing something with them. And typically, when you open up one of the component editors, it's going to show you the important properties that you need to be concerned about. I don't have the help file installed here. This is a new machine that I've recently set up. But you also have context-sensitive help to the help files, so that if you're in a component editor, you hit F1, you're going to get put right in the help file, right where you're going to get some context-sensitive help. I don't even think I have a database built on this machine yet with Firebird. I put Firebird 2.0, and I definitely have some issues with IBO that I need to sort out. Some of my schema queries don't match up with Arno's new aliasing requirements. But anyway, so we'll throw down a transaction. I'm going to have to create a database. I'll jump into another application here real quick. I'm going to save this. This is one of my sample applications. And it's just a really simple little one data module, one form. And I'm using a base class form there. But basically, here's the connection, here's the transaction. And then this one has a script that starts off creating the database. Oh, I must have already done it. Well, we'll see. We'll go in here. We've got our database. Yeah, okay, I already created it. So here I am back in the connection editor. And there's some fairly useful tools inside the editor. It's almost like you have an application built right into your IDE. Like if you want to browse the tables in your database, this database only has three tables, or look at triggers, indexes. If you even want to query the data itself, last name, I think there should be some Mortons in there. Yep. If you want to go back into search mode, anything starting with W, that adds in Wagaman. One nice thing about what you're looking at here, before I get too far, is I first showed you the T dataset based components. And with Interbase Objects, because I started these way back in Delphi 2, before they actually separated T dataset and the Borland database engine, the only way I could write a set of components that natively talked to Interbase was to completely eliminate T-dataset itself. And so I actually started with my own complete T-component-based components and controls. And so I more or less architected and designed my own data set architecture. And when I did this, I was familiar, do any of you know FileMaker Pro? Claris, I think, is. They had a really crappy back end, horrible back end. But their GUI was really nice. They had a lot of nice features. And one of them that I really liked is that your data access controls would go into a search mode, and you could type search criteria right into your data controls, and then basically tell it, okay, show me all the records in the data set, and it would bring them forward. And that's basically what I'm demonstrating here. This is something that comes right out of the box. You don't have to do any coding in your application. You can drop down your data access components, drop down some control bars like these guys, wire them up, and it's all there built in. So that's what I'm showcasing right here at the moment. So when you're inside of this component editor, you can pretty much just dig through your whole database, set the properties, click OK. So anyway, has anybody noticed that before the search mode? Has anybody played with that yet, or is that new? Pretty much new. It's pretty good stuff. It makes it really easy to just throw together an app that's actually very functional for an end user, and you didn't have to write hardly any code at all to get to that point. Maybe I'll just take a minute and show you a little more of this application. Let's see. No, I don't want to view unit. Let's see. Control Alt. There we go. Some of the controls behave a little bit differently. I also have my own. I completely wrote my own T-grid component or control, and it allows you to drop controls on it that then become embedded in the grid. For example, this combo box just drops down on the grid, and it's got some interesting features. One thing that also comes with the native, I call them the native components versus the T dataset components. There's features that are built right into the dataset that my controls exploit. Like if you notice here, there's these little, I don't know how well this, does this show up pretty well? Can everybody see this okay? Okay. If I click on these grid headers, you get your automatic sorting, and it does some colors. And you don't have to do anything with the grid to get this. You just make some settings in the database, or in the data set component. And I'll go ahead and show you. I'll go ahead and show you how that's set up. This is the component editor for my buffered query, TIB_query. And you have various properties. Of course, first and foremost is your SQL component, or your SQL property. And I'm just using a select everything. Probably the second most important property, and this is something new that most of you aren't going to be used to having to deal with, but it's a very crucial part of the Interbase Objects architecture, and that is you need to let the query know what is the key column or columns for the data set you're working with. And in this case, this contact.id is the primary key of the table I'm working with. And there's a whole layer of functionality that wouldn't work properly without the key links being set. And in fact, there's some little gotchas that can come up in your application if this isn't set. So just make a mental note that setting the key links property is very important. And in many cases, I have logic behind the scenes that actually tries to parse your query and figure out what your key links should be, and that's what this key links auto define is. I could remove that and it would figure, in most cases it figures out what the primary key and stuff is. It'll also use an alternate unique key as well, but anyway, that's a very important thing. The ordering, this is where you set up all of the different sort ordering that your query has, and this is where the grid gets its information so it knows how to sort columns. And the way this works is there's a little table, and you give each entry a name in this ordering items, and then you've got the first, each, we'll call this a entry. Each entry has a name, an equal sign, and then there's two parts. The first part is your ascending, and the second part is your descending, separated by a semicolon. Okay? And basically what you're putting here is what exactly gets parsed into your order by clause in your SQL. If you notice here, I didn't put an order by clause in the SQL, because this property here more or less shows you the range of all of the different order by clauses you want readily available to your end users. And there's the ordering item no property. I don't know why that's obscured there, but anyway. The way this works is zero. If this is set to zero, then it uses whatever order by clause you have in your SQL statement. So if I did have an order by in here, it would use it. Without anything in there, it'll just use the natural order. But as soon as I hit this to one, or to whatever, all of the positive one through whatever will use the first entry. But if I go negative, now I'm working through the descending. So you can basically set your query order just by setting the ordering item no property to whatever you want that's valid within the range of entries that you have. Then there's another property over here called ordering links. And what this does is this associates an actual column to the ordering item over here. And in most cases, I usually just give it the column name here as well. It doesn't necessarily have to be the column name. This is just an arbitrary name that you give the ordering item. But this associates the ID column to the ID ordering item. So the grid knows to, and I think I actually have it in the editor here too. Yeah. So the grid knows that when I'm flipping back and forth here, you should notice that the ordering item gets changed. So if I jump back here and click on first name and come back to the, see it changed to 3, which is first name, so it's going to use this. If I go back to the data and flip that again and come back here, goes to -3. So you can kind of get a feel for, and that, and the first name column is associated to 3 here. So you've got to set it with just these settings, then all of this functionality just immediately surfaces in all your controls. That's another example of, and there's actually some very, I'm going to save this for the advanced course, but there's also, like, let's say for example you have a data set that's 100,000 plus records, and you want to be able to change the sorting and do incremental searching and stuff. There's some additional settings that you can put in here that tells Interbase objects how you want to refine your query, so that, like, if I want to do a name search on Wharton, it'll actually behind the scenes create an input parameter and put in with a starting with, and it'll only pull in the virtualized slice of records that you want to work with. But it's pretty advanced. So I just wanted to let you know there's more to these properties than I'm showing you. But another thing that's really nice about Interbase objects is in most cases with your queries, you can just tell it to request live, and I figure out what your insert statement and your update statement and your delete statements are, because you've provided the key links information. makes it very easy for me to automatically make your data sets live. So rarely do you actually need to also put together your update SQL. But if you want, you can actually... Oh, it's telling you it's not necessary. Well, whatever. You can type in your own customized SQLs for doing your inserting and deleting and updating. Let's see. Another thing that's fairly useful is the master links, which basically that sets up master detail relationships between your queries. And I have a sample application I'll show you for that. Let's see, I need to click OK. Is there any questions at this point from anyone before I move on?
Well, there's some small ones. One is, do you have an SQL parser that can be used by the developer directory? So can I just, you know, let them give me all the fields that are in the query or give a certain part or whatsoever? I do not know whether I know that with IBO, but I needed it back in other components, so I have to just exchange the where clause, for example, but I have to know which where clause in the different where clauses in the more complicated statement, it should be, which is the last one, for example.
I see. If you have a union and multiple where clauses, you're on your own there.
Okay.
But I do have a lot of, let's see, I could show you in code. There are, let's see. Well, let me just answer yes. And what you do is you do SQL, WHERE, just SQL where, and you can write to or read from that property, and it actually parses the where clause out of your SQL or your SQL from, or your SQL, I think it's select. So yeah, I do break down the SQL and make it easy for you to manipulate the various individual. Yeah. Let's jump to that other application real quick. This master links. Master detail is something a lot of people do in applications. It's one of the most common structures. This is set up. It actually has three levels. In the BDE, you would set it up by your, I can't remember exactly the name of the properties, master fields, and then you kind of set it up. But then if you're using queries, then you would use parameters. And with interbase objects, you can do either. I have it set up to where if you want to just do it really easy, and you can do it with the, I don't really have it in the native IBO, I don't have an equivalent of a T-table, just because we all know that if you're dealing with Firebird, you're dealing with queries. There really isn't such thing as a table. So what I have here is, it's very similar. You have a master source, which points to a master, which points to a, oh shoot, I still screwed up. Oh well, maybe that'll actually work out okay. I couldn't find my Delphi 7 CD, so I threw Delphi 6 on here, and that wasn't a good idea. Okay. Master, wait a minute, I'm not pointing to the right. Yeah, see, master source for this one points, so your middle guy is going to hinge off of the one above it. And then I have the master links. And basically this just gives a column-to-column association. And it really works quite a bit the same as it did in the T-table. If we run this, hopefully this file exists. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. Yes, good. Oops, I accidentally dropped a memo on there. I don't know if anybody caught me doing that. Anyway, I tried to use a little bit of color highlighting here. So as you can see, master detail is really pretty straightforward to set up. Let me get rid of that memo. Shorten these up a little bit. But what I want to show you is, remember I talked about the search mode? Where the data sets go into the search mode, you type in some criteria and you hit show me all the records. I actually have it set up to where you can put two master detail linked data sets into a search mode. You can put search criteria in the detail, the fields of the detail data set, and it will actually resolve to show you only records in the master data set, those which link to records in its details. It's sometimes not the most efficient query to be throwing at your database, but if that's what you're after, it can work. So I wanted to show how that... I can't remember if this uses... Yeah, master links, same thing. I wanted to show on that. Master param links basically works the same, only you're giving the name of the parameter, the input parameter in your SQL statement, and then you're telling it which field, just like it worked in tQuery. So kind of think of it this way. This was the tTable way, if that suits your liking, or this is the tQuery way, if that's how you like. So you can do it either way. So master detail in IDO is very, very easy to work with. And one thing that's really nice too about Interbase Objects is every piece of functionality built into it will work with other functionality. For example, if you're working with cached updates, how many of you have tried to combine cached updates and master detail? Well, the problem you have with it is every time you move the record in the master data set, you're re-querying the detail data set. Well, if you have cached updates in your detail data set and you actually refresh that data set in the BDE, those updates are put in the garbage quietly. And that's not very helpful. So in other words, you can't mix cached updates and master detail in the BDE-based components. I don't know how other, you know, the IBX and stuff, I haven't looked at how robust they might have done that work. I kind of doubt that it's, they probably have the same limitations. But with Interbase Objects, I actually have the cached updates persisting, even though, in other words, you can scroll to different records in your master data set, and then when you come back to the record that maybe there are some cached updates in your detail, they're preserved and reassociated. And so
where do you keep that? Where do you keep that? Do you have tables to keep that, or do you keep
I
that?
Have all my own proprietary in-memory buffers. Yeah.
Just a question to master parameters thing. I got the problem when I changed the query at runtime. It didn't like me to match the parameters.
Yeah, when you change that property, you actually would have to re-prepare your query, and so maybe that was part of what tripped you up, because you're actually affecting the prepared statement on the server.
I re-prepare and I have to reset the master source?
Oh.
Something done wrong.
That shouldn't be that way. Maybe there's something for me to look at, if you want to show me after. Okay, yeah, that'd be worth taking a look at.
Okay.
I haven't seen that happen myself. If you set the master source, it should stay.
Okay.
But, yeah. There's another kind of data set to data set relationship in the native Interbase Objects components that's very unique. I've never seen this in any other data set architecture, but for me it made sense. This is what's called the key links relationship. Not only do the key links tell you what your primary key or columns for the data set is, you also can spell out a relationship with another data set based on your key links. And I'll show you how that works. I've got a sample app here. Okay. Here I've got orders and customer. Now normally we expect order as the master and customers, let's say, or no, it would be customer at the top and orders at the bottom. So when you're looking at a customer, you'd see the list of all their orders in a master detail. Well, in a way, this is kind of like the tail wagging the dog. We're gonna have the orders, and then we're gonna have a list of all the customers. And as I move from order to order, what's going to happen is the record pointer in the customer query is going to move to whatever customer is for that order. So it's more, it's not that you're querying records, it's that you're moving a record pointer within a data set. And so here, if you notice, this is customer 1351, and down here the record pointer is pointing to 1351. And as I move through these records, it keeps them in sync. Now, this is a bidirectionally programmed relationship. So if I move to a different customer, you'll notice that this is actually updating. So this gives me an opportunity by moving the record pointer in the key links detail data set, I'm actually manipulating a key in the master, the key links master. And so this makes it quite flexible to basically, you know, this grid down here actually becomes a lookup type of. So one thing that people really get lost on quick with interbase objects is when they're setting up a lookup relationship, you actually configure that in your data set components. Most of you are used to pulling down some kind of a lookup-based control and setting up all of the lookup properties and such in that control. And with interbase objects, that the native interbase objects, that doesn't work. If I cancel, notice it corrects and everything's all smoothly integrated together. Another thing that is quite unique, and this is probably more appropriate to go into in my advanced session, but let's say, for example, you have 500,000 customers and you've got your orders here. Obviously, you could run into a little bit of trouble if all of a sudden you're moving this record pointer in a data set that could potentially be a 500,000 or 1,000,000 records. Obviously, you don't want to be pulling 1,000,000 records to your client so that you can move a record pointer around. Well, hinging on that feature I told you earlier, if you set up what I call it data set refinement, you can actually move the record pointer and it will figure out which record that it should be being pointed to, fetch only those records surrounding it and put those in your grid, and so it automatically refines. And so in a way it's a little bit similar to a master detail in that you can only be pulling the records you need from the server, but yet you have the flexibility as if you're scrolling through a huge data set. And of course you need to set up your indexes appropriately so that that can be done efficiently. But so just so you know, this key links relationship is actually a very foundational part of interbase objects. And let's see, maybe what I could do is show you another application. We'll show you, actually show you a lookup combo. Whoops. This little app is kind of designed to show you I don't know what it's doing right now. It's looking for a file that it doesn't know where it is. There we go. For some reason it's not finding the data set. Let me look. Oh, yeah, I don't have a D drive for one thing on this machine at all. That might be all I need to do. Yeah, that's all. Okay, good. Alright, so here we are in query mode. This is a lookup data set. And I'm actually scrolling through a data set, and this is all integrated into the search mode. So the search criteria actually incorporates where the KeyLinks data set is pointing, and it uses that record in the search criteria. Let's see. Customer support. Not too many of those. So as you can see, this lookup control is basically tied into the search mode as well. And that's... Oh, okay. What I did is I showed how you can take your own grid and set it all up just the way you want, and then you can override and tell it, instead of having its own default grid that pops up, you can have it use your own grid that's been made fancy. Like if you want to do some custom drawing or some different colors or whatever, you can. Let's see, another thing. The search mode is kind of useful. You can do stuff. Let's just see. 42 records. Guckenheimer. I don't want to type that one. Green, that's a nice. So if I type in, I don't know if it had an E at the end or not. But if I do this, right criteria, I can clear that out. I can pull open some other stuff, go back into search mode, read criteria. So you can save frequently used search criteria off and kind of putty them around. There's functionality in there that lets you, if I want to see the last one I did, whoops, never mind. So there's just all kinds of little goodies that if you just know where to look, or think of it as if you're using interface objects and you think, this is probably something that a lot of people would use, just kind of assume in your head that Jason's done something for it somewhere. Go to the news group and ask, hey, what's the best way to do this? I can't stress enough how useful the news group is, because usually you can get answers to a lot of questions. But just wanted to show. Let me show you how the lookup combo is actually set up. As you can see, it has its data source to DS lookup. So it's actually pointing here. And you'll notice that there aren't any other. I don't know why that's not cooperating very well. There isn't anywhere that you set lookup criteria. It just points to a data source, which points to this query, which if you look here, there, maybe that'll, it has its key source set to DS master, which is here, which is the master. And if we look here at the KeyLinks property, notice that now it actually has an equals in the middle here, And so what it's doing is it's telling you how are the columns related between the two data sets. And if you had multiple entries, you would just put per each column, you just make an entry. So if you had three, you'd have three entries in that. And whoops. I know an answer for that. Cancel. And that's all it takes to set up your lookup. And the nice thing too is, see, with the stuff being set in the data set, you actually have the ability in your lookup to monkey around with some of this stuff. And if, for example, I don't know if I have incremental searching in here or not. Oh yeah, I do. So, but let's say I wanted an incremental search on this. I don't know if it actually will do incremental searching. Yeah, it does. But I don't have a 306. 2, 1. Whoops. Timed out. 6, 2, 1. So you can kind of just by making some data set configurations, throw it all together, and you've got a very flexible, usable interface. That's it for that one. I don't know how we're doing on time. What, 10 minutes to go? 15?
15 minutes.
15 minutes to go? Okay. Is there anything anybody's just like dying to know? They don't want to leave the session until they know a certain thing? I don't know. You guys all seem to be a very cooperative group. Ooh. I want to see everybody's face. Okay. Well, I'll just keep rolling then. Let's see, what else can I show you? Okay. I know a good thing to show you. There's a couple other things that, this is maybe getting a little bit more advanced, but it's kind of fun stuff, and I encourage people to familiarize themselves with this feature of interbase objects. Maybe it's a little more for the advanced, but, I have a, or we'll call it an event-driven way that you can manipulate your SQL. Like, let's say search mode just isn't quite enough. Your users want to just click a button and have it do something. You don't want them to have to know what to type. Just seeing a blank, empty control, some users, they're not real comfortable with, I actually have to think and put something in here. They just want to see something that tells them, you know, click this button to see active orders. They just want to see it and click. So in this case, you can actually customize your own way of influencing the search mode parsing. And like, for example, this is just a toggle button that I believe keys on gender. So what you can do with interbase objects is there's a method you can call that anytime something in your interface is clicked on or changed or whatever that in some way affects the records that should or shouldn't be showing in your query, you can call this invalidate SQL method, and it flags it. So that then when you call refresh, in the process of refreshing the data set, it will recognize, oh, I actually need to refresh as well as have the SQL statement submitted to the server re-parsed. And so what will happen when this query refreshes is it will, let's see, QR contact, I believe. It's in the data module. On this query is an event, and I apologize, I haven't trained this new notebook. Why does that only go up that high? there's an event called On. No, it's not showing. Just a moment. Let's see. Oh, wait a minute. You know what? I put it on a different... Where's my F12? DS contact. Okay, sorry. I went looking in the wrong place. I also have this propagated out to the... It's not only... It's on the data set, but it's also on the data source as well. There's an event called OnPrepareSQL. And what happens is, when your query is being prepared, I give you an opportunity to get involved with your query as it's preparing. And I have a property called SQL where items. And basically what it allows you to do is plop, that's probably not a word foreigners maybe. It allows you to include additional filter criteria into your where clause. So as this thing's preparing, you can say, is that toggle button down? If it's down, then I only want to see those records that have M as the gender. So basically what's going to happen, you toggle the button, flags the query that the SQL has been impacted. Then in the process of refreshing, the query prepares itself, which in that process, it comes here when preparing. You add this entry into this property, and then it gets parsed for you into the SQL statement that goes to the server.
But then you have to make sure that there is no gender F there already, isn't it? Because you're just adding the where clause.
Right. Well, and this gets used and thrown away. It doesn't permanently stay in your SQL. So in other words, if you toggle the button off, you don't have to worry that it used to be something else before. Everything gets thrown away and reparsed in. And what I'll do is I'll run this, and I'll just kind of... I think I have monitor SQL. And another nice thing about it is, too, is you may not want to query the records back. You might want to just do a count, in which case I use SQL to bring back the count. And if you're in search mode, and like I click on M, I'm not involving fetching records, but let's say I want to do a count again. And if you notice down here, you can play around with search criteria and doing counts and never actually fetch a record back. You can just... Although, where's it putting the count? Oh, it's down here at the bottom. 5 rows. And if I turn that off and do a count, 7 rows. So I've got 2 women in here. Probably my wife and my daughter. Also, when you're here, as you can see, it pretty much just... So you can very easily create buttons and whatever, and with very minimal code, you're actually creating a very rich interface. If you have to be parsing, you asked the question about parsing SQL. Frankly, in IBO, if you have to be parsing SQL, you're probably hurting yourself. You're probably not really working with the functionality that's been made available to you. But anyway, I can't remember what some of this stuff is. It's just me playing around testing stuff. These sample applications go through a lot of abuse. let's see. Maybe a few other things I could show, maybe just to give you I've got about 5 minutes left. If there's any questions, let me know. Otherwise, I'll just kind of go over some of... Because there's just a gob of components in Interbase Objects. There's the core components, just your standard stuff. IBO access, those are fairly standard tools. I have scripts. You can extract your metadata. Mostly that's really good during development. I keep versions of scripts. As I change my database, I'll dump the DDL, and then I use file compare utilities so that I can carefully track changes I'm making in my database. That's a very useful capability. There's import and export tools. You can dump out text files, DBF files. The data pump is quite useful. It's a little bit hard to, it's not as well documented as it should be. You just saw the trace monitor, how it shows you what's going on. Then this stuff is a little more involved, more appropriate for advanced. There's full text searching capabilities that require a little bit of setup, replication. The internet, these internet components, Delphi, Borland did some things in later versions of Delphi that kind of made it hard for me. I was doing IDE enhancements, and Borland kind of does what they want with the IDE, and they kind of stepped on my toes, so we'll just skip over those. Don't use them. The controls, there's just a ton of controls. Lookup combos, radio group, list box, JPEG, track bar, rich edit, memo, currency, date time picker. Pretty much just...
Do you have control for dragging menus from one list to another?
My grid supports drag and drop between grids, but it requires a little bit of configuration. So, probably the best short answer is no.
Have you ever seen one that does any
good? Well, I know the DevExpress controls are very rich, and they include quite a bit of that type of functionality, grouping and collapsing and all that kind of stuff.
Yes. Data pump can it deal with blobs?
Yes. The data pump will handle blobs.
So anything I have to know, any further description?
When you're using the data pump, it's actually designed in a way that you can customize and configure and program inside of it. You can write your own custom objects that pull, so you can do manipulations in between if you had some type of need for customization. Yeah, it's very flexible. Yeah, there's actually a fair number of grids. There's a control grid. I'm working on a tree view. It's still a little bit rough. There's a ledger control, which is actually fairly nice. It allows you to have multiple, you can set up multiple rows, so you've got, you know, one chunk that has three rows for a record, and then it's repeating, and kind of, you know, you all know what a ledger is, so I think your imagination can take over from there. There's a ton of bars, update bar, navigate bar, search bar, dataset bar, statement bar. The utility bar is really useful. That's the one that I was showing you in the connection component editor. You can put that in your own application and basically drop in all of the functionality that you're used to in the component editors right in your application. So if you want to monitor your SQL or browse your database or test some queries or whatever, you can import data, export data, whatever. It kind of just has the whole kitchen sink thrown into a button bar that you just drop in your application. Take it out before you deploy because it throws in the whole enchilada. You might have more in your application than you really need. And that's it. Hopefully you feel like you know a little more about Interbase Objects. Maybe you're a little excited about trying some of the things that I just demonstrated. Certainly if you have any questions, you know, say, hey, Jason, remember me from the Firebird conference. Hey, I've got this question, and I'm going to be in Chile for a while, but I'll be home in December. So let me know, and I'll be happy to help any of you as you continue to explore. As far as pricing and licensing goes, depending on Interbase Objects is anywhere from free to, you know, as much money as you feel you want to part with. If you're a nonprofit organization, church, open source, whatever, if it's not for some kind of commercial gain, I have a Trustware license that basically lets you use it for free. And then, of course, if you derive some kind of a commercial gain, I ask that you pay the licensing, and it's all on my website. So if you say, hey, remember me from the conference, I've got a way I can flag you as a discount customer if you want to discount on your pricing if you ever get around to buying it. So just ask me about that, and I'll be happy to, since you're a faithful conference attendee, in my session. But other than that, I think I'm done. So, thank you for coming.